Hello and welcome to another episode of The Strange Truth. I'm your host, Carl B., and hopefully everybody's having had a good week, right? And hopefully your weekend will be stellar, right? It will be, a good weekend for y'all. I say if you are stressed about everything that's going on in the world right now, you know, maybe you can always turn this off and come back to it another time when you can handle it. You know, the goal is not to have you stressed. The goal is to have you, ready, right? When the emergency comes along, right? The goal is to have you ready to go. There's a lot going on in our world, right? Since my last podcast, there's been a lot going on. We're hammering the Houthis, and we've got carriers being sent, to the Middle East. The clock is winding down on Iran. The clock is ticking with them on that. I don't think that if we do strike Iran, I don't think that the Russians are going to get involved. They don't really want that necessarily on their plate right now. So right now, the Iranians, they're in a sticky situation at this point, because I do believe that, President Trump really means to, do something about the nuclear threat down there in Iran. So we'll see how that plays out. What could that action really look like? I guess, what is he going to blow up, suspected Iranian nuclear sites? It's going to be interesting to see what and how, that whole operation, how it goes down. But, the Iranians got to realize that the guy is serious. he wants all that stuff gone. Because it really does threaten that entire region. And I think it would just completely destabilize the entire region. And I think he wants all that stuff gone, and he's going to try and make it happen. So there's that going on down there in the Middle East. We're still trying to do our thing with the Russians, right? Try to talk him down and make peace between them and the Ukrainians, so we can stabilize Europe. Because if it's left up to the Europeans are going to have us in another world war. It's just the nature, it seems, of that area. The way those folks, operate. They've started two world wars, really. It was Europeans that started two world wars. Apart from, there was Japan and all that. But, and this time we have the Chinese foil as well. They've started two world wars, and they seem really like they seriously want to head for another. and that's just more millions. This time it's going to be even, I would say, 4 or 5 times the cost of World War II, because nukes are going to be used, if it comes to that. So, the people of Europe need to wake up. These leftist fascist governments that they've got going there, because that's what they are. They're fascist. All of these governments that are running every single European Union country are leftist, and they're fascist. They have really co-opted language. They've co-opted language. And, to the fact where, they'll say, okay, we're doing all of this for your own best interest. So we're going to crack down on speech. And, any speech we don't like, we're going to call hate speech. And anyone that's conservative or on the right, we'll call them far right. And we'll associate those people with Nazis. And then we'll just criminalize them, so we don't have to really necessarily deal with them more. So when they have anything to say, we'll just shut them down immediately, and even lock them up and fight them and destroy their lives. Because all in the name of free speech, right? All in the name of free speech. It's crazy what's going on in Europe. If you're listening to this, if you can in Europe. Because that's another thing too, right? Broadcasts like this, is going to become less and less available to Europeans. They're just going to get a real kind of government manufactured sugary coated you know propaganda filled you know that you know their news and everything that they consume is going to be filtered and it's going to be you know it's going to be monitored. You know they're already living in 1984. Most Europeans just don't seem to know it yet. They are going to have to if it's not already too late. They're going to have to really try to get those people out of power because you know what's the point of having a party that wins most of the vote if that party is then deemed if they're deemed criminal or unlawful, right? If they ban them, then of course, you know, that shuts down those voices in their community. That's where they're heading. You know, they're heading towards, well, they're already there. They're, you know, they're all, I would say what now, 10 members of the EU, right? I think they've got like 10, right? 10 countries in the EU or I have to look it up. But I would say that every single country, because they all sign on to the same program, right? They all speak with the same voice, pretty much, except maybe for Hungary and sometime probably Poland. There's a few outliers. But for the most part, they all got to march to the same tune. And, you know, it's setting up a really bad scenario in Europe. A really bad scenario in Europe. Wouldn't want to live there. Wouldn't mind visiting. Wouldn't want to live there, right? It's going to be a leftist dystopia, right? A nightmare, and I feel really sorry for the people who've got to really deal with it. They're shutting everything down. They're shutting religion down. You know, they're shutting everything down right now, right? You know, it's just a matter. They'll pivot. If you're living there and you're like, yeah, I'm fine. I never say anything that's inflammatory or whatever. It's just a matter of time that they're gonna pivot to something that you really really care about, and then you're gonna realize that man, it's too late. I don't have any power to do anything about any of this, and then you have a really bad situation, right? So. It's crazy, right? Because the Democratic Party, for the most part, you know, they tout all of this, you know, inclusivity and all of this other stuff. But it's either my way or the highway for those folks, right? They don't want to live in the house with you. They want to, you know, they prefer to just burn the entire house down rather than live with you in it. And that's what they're doing. All over the place at this point, right? It's crazy. It's really, really crazy. Anyway, we're going to talk about the new Dust Bowl situation. Well, this ongoing, I shouldn't say new, it's an ongoing issue that's going on in the United States right now with all the droughts and stuff like that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how there is this culture of violence. Now that's disturbing, this really disturbing culture of violence, on the left side of the spectrum, the political spectrum. We're going to quickly discuss that and how it might, you know, impact us, how it might impact you. And then we're going to get really strange again with a few interesting, almost supernatural, stories, right? We're going to take a look at the whole Darrow, you know, they cloned what they're calling a dire wolf, right? This underwater pyramid believed to be what 12,000 years old there in Taiwan. We'll take a look at those really really cool stories as well. Some interesting things going on in the world. The first thing though I want to talk about is PackFreshUSA.com. PackFreshUSA.com is one of our sponsors. So please, go over to PackFreshUSA.com and support that website for all your long-term storage needs. I'm talking Mylar bags of all different sizes, oxygen absorbers, sealers, you know, things to seal up, and your your bags and everything else. All that's available at packfreshusa.com, right? Great bags, great oxygen absorbers, really, really good service, right? Delivery is usually pretty good. You know, go over to packfreshusa.com and check them out today.
Who wants free ammo? Our new sponsor, AmmoSquared.com, is a truly automated, set-it-and-forget-it ammo purchasing program. Pick your calibers, set your budget, select a shipping trigger, and ammo's coming to you. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. AmmoSquared was started in Idaho in 2015, and today has over 30,000 customers across the country. Start stockpiling ammo at AmmoSquared.com/PBN and get 75 rounds of 9mm for free. That's AmmoSquared.com/PBN. What if I told you you could own land for $200 down and highly affordable monthly payments? YourCheapLand.com is your answer to bug out land, hunting, recreation, and whatever else your prepper mind can dream up. YourCheapLand.com has properties in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Oklahoma, Arizona, Utah. Go to YourCheapLand.com, check out the properties, use the promo code PBN, and get $100 off your purchase.
All right. Please support our sponsors, and please go over to PBN, become a member. Okay, you know, because we offer a service on PBN that you can't get anywhere else. Great podcasts, right, on lots of different topics. You know, some of those topics, you know, will center around like world events and politics. Other topics, you know, like in terms of, you know, prepping and food storage and, whether it be like ham radio usage, you know, communication, you name it, different types of how to take care of, you know, your livestock and how to garden, it's just endless on PBN, right? If you can't find it, you can always contact, James or any of the hosts here on PBN, and they'll point you in the right direction, or they'll be able to help you themselves. So go on over to PBN, become a member, start taking advantage of that membership today. All right, so we're going to take a look at this whole Dust Bowl situation, right? This stuff is not being really reported out there in the, you know, in the mainstream media, but you know, we are always ahead of the mainstream media here on PBN. It's just incredible. But you know, this will affect people living in, you know, the midsection, you know, mid parts of the United States. And, you know, it affects our food supply. It affects a lot of different things, and it's really, really seriously important, and it's happening right now. This was written by Michael Snyder over there at themostimportantnews.com, and you can go check it out for yourself. Let's see, it says 1930s Dust Bowl conditions are returning to the middle of the United States. I'll read a little bit of the article here. Absolutely gigantic dust storms are triggering massive highway pileups in the middle of the country. Virtually the entire Southwest is currently experiencing at least some level of drought. And dust storms and soil erosion are now costing our economy more than $100 billion every year. If you think that what we're witnessing is normal, you're simply not being rational. The same conditions that prevailed during the Dust Bowl years of the 1930s are returning, and scientists have warned us that the mega drought that has now begun could continue for a long time to come. Last month, a series of enormous dust storms caused a tremendous amount of chaos throughout the middle portion of the nation. A series of enormous dust storms swept the plains states last week, triggering massive highway pileups, a spike in emergency room visits, and dirty rain 1,000 miles away. The storms were driven by winds in excess of 70 miles per hour across a vast stretch of dry fields and prairie from New Mexico and western Texas. In Kansas, at least 55 vehicles were involved in one particular highway pileup, and eight people end up dying. At least eight people died after more than 55 vehicles were involved in a crash due to a dust storm in Kansas, authorities said Saturday. And it says at 3:22 p.m. local time on Friday, high winds moved into northwest Kansas from Colorado, causing a severe dust storm, leading to traffic to slow due to near zero visibility, resulting in multiple crashes on I-70. Eight people died in the interstate pileup and numerous injuries were reported, the Kansas Highway Patrol said Saturday. There are also vehicle pileups and traffic fatalities in Texas. In Texas, four people were killed in car crashes around the city of Amarillo, caused by a dust storm on Friday, according to the state's Public Safety Department. One of the deaths happened after three lorries collided with four other vehicles in Palmer County. Bovinia's fire chief Cesar Marquez said. Another occurred after a pileup of an estimated 38 cars. It's the worst I've seen, Public Safety Department Sergeant Cindy Barkley said, calling the near zero visibility a nightmare. And it says here, as far north as Wisconsin, people are being warned to stay inside during the dust storms that suddenly erupted last month. In their wake, air quality readings spiked well beyond levels deemed hazardous by the Environmental Protection Agency. Public health officials warned millions of people as far away as Wisconsin to stay indoors as the dust swept through. I've never been hit in the face with a shovel, but I imagine it feels something like this, said a social media user in New Mexico who was diagnosed with dust pneumonia after visiting the hospital. When the dust is so bad that it makes you feel like you've been hit in the face with a shovel, that is a sign that dust bowl conditions have returned to your community. Let's just be honest here. Everything is not going to be okay, and the Southwest just keeps on getting even drier. According to one report, the state of Texas has struggled mightily in the rainfall department so far in 2025. Since the start of 2025, Texas has struggled mightily in the rainfall department, with the exception of Piney Woods and parts of southeast Texas near Houston. It has been very, very, very dry start to the year. If current trends continue, it won't be too long before many areas of the state simply start running out of water. Towns and cities could be on a path towards a severe shortage of water by 2030, data compiled in the state's 2022 water plan by the Texas Water Development Board indicates. Right? The Texas official fear the state is gravely close to running out of water. If you're listening to Texas and you're hearing this, I'm sure that you've been probably aware of this. Despite all of our advanced technology, we just can't defeat a mega drought. Further north, water levels in Lake Powell and Lake Mead have dropped to extremely low levels once again. You know, it seems like every year, like once a year, I'm doing a podcast and I'm talking about, you know, water levels in Lake Mead, right? This has been going on for many, many years now. It says here, combined storage in Lake Powell and Lake Mead is down 691,000 acre feet from this time last year, with storage at 33% of capacity. The lake provides water to tens of millions of people across the U.S. Southwest and Mexico, support agricultural operations, and generate hydraulic power. Earlier estimates suggest Lake Mead would begin 2025 below 1,075 foot level. That triggers mandatory conservation measures under federal drought contingency plans. This is becoming a recurring theme. We're highly dependent on Lake Powell and Lake Mead, and if they keep going dry, we're going to have a major crisis on our hands. A decade ago, scientists tried to warn us that this would be coming. Here in the American Southwest, droughts have become something to expect, but a new study warns that the Southwest and Central Plains could face a mega drought early this century, unlike anything seen for a millennia. It could be as bad as the 1930s Dust Bowl, but lasting for 35 years, study co-author Toby Ault of Cornell told an audience of reporters at the annual meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, where the results were announced Thursday. And it says here, the mega drought that we were, that they were warning about is now here. In fact, we're being told that since the year 2000, conditions in the western half of North America have been slightly drier on average than a similar mega drought in the late 1500s. Wow. If this mega drought persists, the Dust Bowl conditions in the middle of the country will only intensify. So, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. You know, if you do, if you live in this area, if you live in, you know, in the middle of the country, and if you've noticed that it's been getting drier, the conditions have been pretty dry, then, you know, you really should just then plan accordingly. Right, you know, you plan accordingly and to, you know, to deal with it. You know, interesting, you don't see anything about this necessarily on the mainstream media. You know, this it's all about how it's all the only thing you see on the mainstream media now is just, you know, political, you know, infighting, or you know, news being delivered with a political slant, right? It you don't really get the real stuff here. All right, so that's the whole thing with the Dust Bowl. Just wanted to bring you guys up to, you know, like up to speed on that. And there was an interesting article. And there was an interesting article that's gotten a lot of play in the alternate media and, you know, well, on some regular platforms. And it's the report by the Network Contagion Research Institute, the NCRI Institute. And you know, this troubling trend of violence on the left continues. You know, it's really amazing to me that, you know, with all the stuff happening out there, all the violence that's happening, caused by people with leftist, you know, with a leftist political agenda. You know, let's be fair. If you're going to complain about, you know, the right, then you got to complain about the left. And you can't have, you know, we got to be fair and balanced, right? You can't have violence, right, against people, against, like, political opponents, you know, against their, you know, their businesses. You know, you really shouldn't do that. You know, it shouldn't come to, if you want to boycott something, then boycott, right? It's another thing to use physical violence. You know, they set fire to a car, or they set fire to a building. You know, do they know if especially with buildings, do you know if there's anybody inside that can't get out? You know, certain things like that, right? You know, the whole thing just is just pretty nasty. But, you know, they do the mostly leftist mainstream media is, They're just not really, really, like, paying attention to any of this. And that's why they've lost credibility with the American people, right? But let me read the report really quickly for you. The Network Contagion Research Institute, the NCRI, recently issued a new report which found that a growing number of people are willing to justify and even applaud killing in the name of politics and a warped sense of social justice, per Fox News. The chilling change appears to have accelerated in recent months. This is the study's term for it. They call it assassination culture. So, especially on the left side of the spectrum, you have this assassination culture that's here. That, you know, it's spreading here. And, well, it's now taken firm root, on the left side of the political spectrum. According to the study, the left's embrace of violence to achieve a political end began with the assassination of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last December. After Luigi Mangione was arrested and charged with the assassination, the left immediately turned him into a folk hero. This is even a ballot measure in California called the Luigi Mangione Access to Healthcare Act. So they're using a murderer to, you know, as it's insane, isn't it? So this guy goes out and shoots somebody in the head, murders somebody in cold blood, and now this guy is some kind of folk hero. You know, It's insane. But that's the world we live in, right? That's the world we're living in. Finkelstein explained that the Luigi fanboying merely opened the door to this frightening acceptability. The left's assassination culture has spread ever since. It's not just Luigi anymore, Finkelstein told Fox. We're seeing an expansion. Trump, Musk, and others are now being openly discussed as legitimate targets, often cloaked in meme culture and gamified online dialogue. This culture can be found primarily in democratic safe spaces like the ex-alternative Blue Sky. The most chilling information is found on the NCRI poll of 1,200 adults. A disturbing 48.6% of those who self-identify as left of center said the murder of Elon Musk is justifiable, that number increased to 55.2% for President Trump when asked if destroying Tesla dealerships is partially acceptable. 57.6% of leftists said yes. Isn't that insane? Can you imagine if it was Republicans saying this? The media would be going, you know, they'd be going like, you know, crazy with that information. This is seriously disturbing, and it's just kind of like in Europe where the left have really like co-opted the culture to the point where, you know, they have this really I don't want to call it the soft fascism, political fascism going on there, because no fascism is soft, right? They have actually started throwing people in prison in Europe for saying the wrong thing or thinking the wrong thing, right? Or for praying the wrong way or whatever, right? They're already throwing people in prison, finding them, destroying their lives, going after them, labeling them bigots or really horrible things, right? Just because they don't agree with the leftist agenda here, right? But let's just finish this. Let's see. Blue Sky was modeled as a safe alternative to Twitter for the left, but what it's become is an extremist platform, Finkelstein explained. And the thing that gets me is that they say all of these really horrible things with a smile on their face, and they're acting like it's some kind of joke, but we know that it's not really some kind of joke. And they'll go and they'll curse out the X platform and say how horrible the X platform is and yada yada yada. But that's what true, you know, freedom of speech is. It's not censoring one voices, even voices that you don't like, right? And amplify the voices that you do like. You know, even the crazy voices, what would be qualified as crazy, is being amplified on that platform now. And it's insane, right? It's really seriously insane. Let's see. He clarified, we're not an anti-free speech organization, but we know what a threat is, and what's happening online on platforms like Blue Sky represent a significant threat to American democratic values. Rather than censor this assassination culture, Finkelstein said, if leaders on the left explicitly condemn these trends and reassert moral norms, they can dismantle this culture quickly. And therein lies the problem. Leading Democrats will never condemn political violence because they approve of political violence that further their cause. The corporate media will never pressure Democrats to condemn this violence because the corporate media approve of and encourage political violence that furthers the leftist cause. You know, because they'll be like, yeah, you know, all of this is justified, right? You know, this is moral, you know, outrage is what they want to classify all of this stuff as, right? Which is just basically, you know, false. Joel Finkelstein, one of the lead authors of the report, told Fox, what was formerly taboo culturally has become acceptable on the left. We're seeing a clear shift, glorification, increased attempts, and changing norms, all converging into what we define as assassination culture. And, you know, remember that term, because I think over the next year, over the next year or two, we're going to see some really horrible things occur because the media and the folks on the political left that can control this won't, and it's going to have some really serious consequences. You know, people are going to lose their lives, their livelihood, their business, you know, their jobs because of this. So keep an eye out for that, guys. All right, so let's see. Right, you know, interesting times, right? You know, what is the old Chinese curse? May you live in interesting times, right? I don't want to be living in interesting times. I want the times I'm living in to be really, really boring, right? Anyway, so two interesting, I'm just going to read, you know, two interesting, really strange articles that appeared in the news media recently, right? And the dire wolf situation and the underwater pyramid, right? So, you know, we got to get strange here on the Strange Truth. So this one's from Red State, right? And it says, a dire situation. Scientists claim to have brought back long extinct Game of Thrones species, the dire wolf. Jurassic Park became a best-selling book and hit movie precisely because while its premise that we could bring back dinosaurs was not possible at the time, readers and viewers knew it would likely be achievable in the not-too-distant future due to scientific advances and breakthroughs in our study of DNA. One company has said that the day has now arrived and that they've brought back to life a species that has been gone from the planet for thousands of years, the dire wolf, the larger version of today's wolves that were made popular in the Game of Thrones universe. When you read the fine print, you see that the company, Colossal's Bioscientists, didn't actually bring back 100% authentic dire wolf, but it's arguably pretty close, right? Let's see. In 2021, a separate team of scientists managed to retrieve DNA from fossils of dire wolves, which went extinct about 13,000 years ago. With the discovery of additional DNA, the Colossal researchers have now edited 20 genes of gray wolves to imbue the animals with key features of dire wolves. They then created embryos from the edited gray wolf cells, implanted them in surrogate dog mothers, and waited for them to give birth. The result is three healthy wolves, two males that are 6 months old, and one female that is 2 months old, named Romulus, Remus, and Khaleesi, that have some traits of dire wolves. They should grow to be quite large, but for now, they're pretty darn cute. So Jurassic Park is here, folks. The same whole editing the gene, you know, they can't bring it back 100% because some of the information is lost, but they can fill it in with animals that are really close, right? And that's the whole premise of Jurassic Park. That's here. The question is, should we be doing it, right? Should we be doing it? Should we be messing with nature, right? They most likely went extinct for a reason, right? Right. And then another interesting story here. This one is on endtimes.org, but it's been on different platforms. And it says, and this one, you know, underwater pyramid believed to be 12,000 years old, discovered near Taiwan, could reshape history. A remarkable discovery off the coast of an undisclosed location has ignited global intrigue. A massive underwater structure resembling a pyramid believed to be approximately 12,000 years old. If confirmed, this finding could challenge established timelines of human civilization and force historians and archaeologists to reconsider the origins of advanced architectural knowledge. Reports emerging from various news outlets indicate that the structure was first identified by a team of marine researchers using advanced sonar technology during a routine expedition. The formation, submerged at a depth of over 100 meters, appears to exhibit precise geometric shapes uncommon in natural underwater formations. Initial estimates suggest it predates known monumental constructions such as Egypt's Great Pyramid of Giza by several millennia. According to a detailed account from a leading news source, the structure spans roughly 60 meters at its base and rises to a height of 25 meters, with what appears to be stepped levels akin to ancient pyramids. A sunken pyramid near Taiwan may rewrite everything we thought we knew about the ancient world. sitting just 82 feet below sea level near the Ryukyu Islands of Japan. The mysterious Yonggunji Monument has been stumping and astonishing researchers since its discovery in 1986. This giant structure with sharp-angled step stands roughly 90 feet tall, appears to be made entirely of stone, leading many to believe it was man-made. However, tests of the stone show it to be over 10,000 years old, meaning that if a civilization built this pyramid by hand, it would have taken place before this region sank underwater more than 12,000 years ago. Wow. So they're finding all of these structures all over the place that are predating, that 10,000 kind of, mark, right? You know, the pyramids of Giza. They're finding all of these structures all over the planet now. And even the structure that they found underneath the pyramid, right? So they're finding all these structures. And it just goes to show you, right, that, for many, many years, right, the scientists have pretty much, they've tried to get rid of, religion out of science, right? Not understanding that, religion is science, right? they've tried to create their own timeline, of how things occurred and how the world was made and everything else. And I think that they're probably realizing that, a lot more went on our planet. A lot more went on probably, on Mars and other places, right? That we dare dream of, right? A lot of this stuff has been hid from us for a long time. And now because of all our technology, we are beginning to figure things out. We're beginning to find things out. For somebody like me with a religious perspective, it all just kind of makes perfect sense. It never really surprises me. It does surprise them because they have a really, really fixed view of how human civilizations evolved on the planet. And I think that there is a lot more to it than the scientists are willing to acknowledge, right? But some interesting news there, right? We do live in interesting times. And if you are of a religious bent, right, you realize, especially if you study eschatology, right, which is, like looking at the end of days, right, how it all going to end here on the planet, right? If you study eschatology, then you know that some really strange things are going to happen. When all of this is drawing to a close, some really strange things are going to occur. You know that there's going to be a one world government, a one world system. And when you look at what's going on in the EU with the suppression of any voice that they don't like, and trying to control information, and basically streamlining the financial systems of globally, right, and different things, it makes you sit up, take notice, makes you sit up and take notice, right? Okay, this is where I'm going to leave it. Okay, we've had a pretty interesting conversation. And oh, by the way, if all this tariff stuff is making you nervous, right? Years ago, I wrote a book, it's fictional, called The Prepper Part 1, The Collapse, right? And it's by me, Carl A.D. Brown. So that's The Prepper Part 1, The Collapse. It's available over there by Amazon. You can check it out. It's about a family surviving an economic collapse, right? And, they've got to survive that whole, crazy scenario of the economy completely crashing and the world just going nuts, right? America implodes, right? The world implodes and you're in a dystopian end of the world kind of scenario, right? But so if you like reading that type of stuff, you can go on over to Amazon, you can check out The Prepper Part 1, The Collapse by Carl A.D. Brown, right? And just check that out. And hope you enjoy it. Okay, it's the scary little book every prepper should read, right? The scary little book every prepper should read. All right, so have a great weekend. Keep listening to PBN, right? You know, these are serious times, and serious times require serious people. Okay, and until next time, folks, take care and good night.
On the brink of blackouts again, as power demand reached an all-time record high overnight, slivers of the Golden State plunged into darkness.
ESCOM says it expects to continue with Stage 6 running blackouts for the rest of the
week. A scheduled outage on Thursday, but the one that happened Sunday, it wasn't scheduled, it was unexpected, and it lasted longer than a day.
Point Zero Energy has given me the American-tested, American-assembled, reliable solar backup that I've been looking for. Their Titan solar generator is American ingenuity at its finest, with a removable, expandable lithium-ion battery, 2,000-watt-hour, 3,000-watt high-efficiency inverter. So what does all that mean to you? It means the Titan can charge your smartphone for 88 hours, your laptop for 35 hours, a CPAP for 108 hours, your refrigerator for 26.8 hours. Get to PointZeroEnergy.com today for the all-American solution to backup power. Are you prepared to be the family doctor in a disaster or emergency? This is the Intrepid Commander, and I'm holding the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy, MD. In this great book, you'll learn how to prepare for medical care off the grid. You'll learn about assessment and stabilization. You'll even deal with things like bioterrorism response, radiation, and how to build the off-grid medical kit at home. Look, 2020 taught us a lot about the limitations of our medical infrastructure in America. Get the Prepper's Medical Handbook today at Amazon.com. Again, that's the Prepper's Medical Handbook by William W. Forgy.